Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life coach, singer, songwriter, artist, and the author of the book, The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am super happy to have Jim McCarty as my guest. Tune in for a conversation about music, friends, true love, the beyond, writing books, and being in the Yardbirds since the beginning. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you very much, Margot. Lovely to be here.
Oh, it's so fun to talk to you.
Great.
I have been a fan of the Yardbirds since 1966, and so, you know, when Ann asked me if I would like to have you on my show, I went, I would love it.
How good.
I would love it. And yeah, oh my gosh, yeah. It's been so fun preparing for the show. It's got me listening to Yardbird songs on Spotify and remembering, oh my gosh, For Your Love, Heart Full of Soul, Over, Under, Sideways, Down, Shapes of Things, I'm Not Talking, Stroll On, woohoo!
Yeah, well, you mentioned 1966. That was a very good year for us.
Yeah.
You know, where we were coming over to the U.S. and it was all very exciting, and we recorded Shapes of Things in Chess Studios in Chicago, which was a very special time for us, and
mm-hmm.
it was lovely to be able to do that, and it was all happening for us in that year.
Yeah, well, you know, boy, I just love listening to those songs. I am so glad that, excuse me, that you're keeping the Yardbirds going. And I have a couple of questions for you. Okay, my friend Robert Berry, who's an amazing musician himself, asked me to ask you, because I asked him, what did he want to ask you? And he said he wanted to know, since you've been in the Yardbirds since the beginning, who showed the most promise at a young age, Eric Clapton, Jeff Beck, or Jimmy Page?
That's a difficult one. I have to be a bit careful here. I would say the most promising was Jeff, because he was so spontaneous about what he played, and he could just, I don't know, he just put it out the air, you know what I mean? He didn't need any referencing or anything like that. He wasn't copying anybody, or he just played from his soul, you know, and he still does. He was a wonderful musician right from square one as soon as I first heard him.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. Reading your book, I started realizing I hadn't even remembered that Eric Clapton, Jeff Beck, and Jimmy Page were all in the Yardbirds. So, you know.
Yes. Well, Eric really, he left before we ever came to the U.S. So he never played with us in America. It was mainly Jeff and Jimmy. They did most of the tours in the States, and some of those tours were they played together. It seems
mm-hmm.
incredible now that they played in the same band at the same time. But there we are. It was some sort of historical memory, really. Fantastic.
Yeah, I imagine. Oh, my gosh. There's so many things we could talk about that. But the reason that I was asked to have you on the show in the first place is because you've got this new book out called She Walks in Beauty, My Quest for the Bigger Picture. And I have to say that I was reading that and I was going, oh my gosh, I want to read more. So I ended up reading Nobody Told Me, your first book as well. And I highly recommend both of them.
Great. That sounds very nice. I like that.
So tell us a little bit about, I think because of the fact that Nobody Told Me came first, the subtitle's My Life with the Yardbirds, Renaissance, and Other Stories. Tell everybody a little tiny bit about that book, and then we'll start talking about She Walks in Beauty after that.
Well, the first book was really an autobiographical book. Somebody contacted me about doing a book, and I've done so many interviews with people, you can imagine, and I seem to remember all the stories for some reason, which my brain is very nice remembering a long way back, and it just seemed the right thing to get it all down in a book. I just thought it would be very interesting for people. Because a lot of those things people never knew. And I was lucky enough to get in touch with a writer called Dave Thompson, who's written many, many rock books, you know, probably a couple of hundred rock books. And he really knows how to write. We worked on it together, you know, together with my memory and my stories and his writing ability. I think we did a good job.
I think you did too.
And the book's been done pretty well. We self-published. We went through Lulu, which is a self-publishing publisher, and they print on demand. So there's no publisher involved, but overall it's done very well, you know, especially on the road, of course, bringing it to shows and selling on live shows. And then, of course, we managed to get together for the next one, which was a totally different proposition. And I was very surprised, actually, that Dave was interested in doing it in the beginning.
Yeah, well, I enjoyed both books, and the She Walks in Beauty got me curious to read more about the whole story of how you got involved with the Yardbirds and all the different bands and people and everything that you've been involved with over the years. But both books are inspiring, and I don't know, I'm so glad that I read them, and I just, you know, She Walks in Beauty, my quest for the bigger picture, and then the illustration on the front has Lizzie with all the butterflies. I love that, too.
Yes. Well, you know, it was, of course, it was really inspired by my wife, who actually passed over, you know, 2 years ago. With cancer, and it was such a, I don't know, it was such a big a big shock. even though we knew it was going to happen, suddenly she's not there, but she is there, you know. I thought, well, she can't just disappear. She was such a big person in my life. I knew her for about 25 years. And,
you know,
we were so close, and you think, well, where has she gone? She can't have gone very far. And so I went on the quest of looking, of trying to find out, because I didn't really study much about death. We did sort of look into it a bit when we were following a Buddhist Lama for a few years. But it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't something that was right in your face. When it happened, I thought I really need to do something. So I started off looking at near-death experiences on YouTube and finding out about these experiences people had had, and they'd come back into their bodies. You know, they died for 5 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever, and they all had the same. They all had the same experience, and it seemed to me that the more I got into it, it was like, well, when your body dies, but then your consciousness carries on, which of course they've been talking about for many years in legends, folk legends and stories and religions and all these things, but you don't have to face it. And then when you're looking at it, you suddenly think, oh yeah, so this makes sense. And then so I started to study actual mediumship, because I various friends put me in touch with somebody called Suzanne Giesman, who's an American medium. Mm-hmm. And I followed some of her classes, and then I worked out how to do it, how to go through the various steps in order to contact my wife, and it was successful. I thought I was very pleased. It was a very subtle process, but I learned how to do it, and wonderful things happened, and there are many stories which are in the book about people seeing her, and her giving me various signs that could be, rectified or whatever, verified, because Suzanne, the medium, she always talked about evidence. She said, well, it's no good just saying, oh, there's somebody close that passed over to the other side and she loves you or whatever. We really need evidence. So ask them to tell you something that you don't know about somebody. And this sort of thing happened to me quite a lot. She was telling me things about people I didn't know, and I found out they were true, which was very interesting. And that was the proof to me, anyway. That was the proof that these things were actually real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. You know, when you said that about the near-death experiences, I remember meeting Anita Murjani at one of the Hay House conventions. And
yes.
She's amazing. Wayne Dyer had her there to talk about her
yes.
near-death experience. And it's just, meeting her, I don't know if you've ever met her in person, but you really feel like you've met an angel when you walk up and talk to her. She just has this incredible aura about her that is just so positive and so full of love.
I know. I've watched her YouTube. She has a YouTube channel.
Uh-huh.
I've watched it quite a lot. And it's very, very uplifting, isn't it? I haven't met her, but I read the book, of course, you know, what's it called, Dying to Be Me or something?
Right.
And the story. And, yeah, she's absolutely alive, isn't she? Totally there.
Yeah, and her story is, I think, so important that people need to learn to love themselves. It's like you have to love yourself as if your life depends on it, she said, because it does.
Yes. And she realized what she'd been doing wrong. When she was over the other side, she could see what she was doing wrong and realized she hadn't really loved herself enough. And so it was a great lesson. And she came back and she told it. And she's helping a lot of people, you know. It's great.
Well, you know, she's, I think, hopefully helping a lot of people also realize that loving yourself is important. And she's also
yes.
helping a lot of people, like you said, realize that when you do make your transition from physical to non-physical, that you're not gone.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, you're still here. You're just here in a different way.
Yes, and it's very difficult for us because I get signs all the time, and sometimes I have to say to myself, well, do I really believe this? Is this really happening? Because your one part of your mind doesn't quite believe it, but the other part does. So it's a conflict, but it's getting better all the time, I must say.
Well, okay, so now, how did you first meet Elizabeth, and how was she connected with your music career?
Well, not so much, actually. We met at an alternative therapy center, which was down in Malvern, which is in the west side of England.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Worcestershire, which is near Gloucestershire, which is all in the west side. And she used to go there for relaxation to get away, because she worked for an art gallery in London,
mm-hmm.
one of the big art galleries, and it was very pressurized. And she was quite a sensitive person, actually. So she went to this place called Running's Park, which was like an alternative therapy center. And I used to go there. I had some friends there. And I used to work with music down there, too. and we just met. We actually studied channeling, where you channel sort of your guides, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a bit similar. It was a bit similar to what I'm talking about, channeling her. So we were already a little bit in that direction, and we used to do channeling together, and
uh-huh.
she used to channel for people, and you're probably aware of it. She used to give guidance to people sometimes from a channeled aspect, you know, rather than psychological, sort of a channel through the guides. So we used to do that quite a bit. So we were already on that level. And regarding music, she wasn't really into the music so much, although she appreciated my creativity, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And she preferred me to sing and play my own songs, I think, than sort of drum with the band.
Mm-hmm.
So she liked all that side of what I did. But we were very, very close. And, you know, it was a real deep love, you know, which I feel really blessed that that's happened in my life, to have like 25 years with someone I really love. I feel
mm-hmm.
that's a real gift.
It is. It really is. And, yeah, it just, love matters. It really does. You know, and to me, it's love is like all caps, not just capital L-O-V-E or all lowercase. It's love. It's just love. And, you know, love lives forever. I keep hearing that from my mom. She's been an angel.
Yes.
Since 2006 in October, and you know, she talks to me a lot, and a lot of times I'll write Mom, what are you telling me, or Mom, Joy, Wayne, all these other people, what are you telling me? And I meditate for 15 minutes and I let them write whatever they want with my pencil on my yellow pad of paper. And I started doing that right after my mom became an angel, and
yes.
on October 25th of that year, and it felt so good, you know. It just felt so good to be connected with her that way. And I'm hoping that maybe people reading your book, it'll help some of the people that have lost people that they love feel that connection more, you know.
Yes, I was hoping that myself. That was part of the motivation, really, that it would help people in the same boat as me. You know, not to be so desperate and so utterly alone, you know. Well, you know the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to feel that way if you know that they're still there.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things that really helped me with it is it was my mom's health that got me to go to a Hay House I Can Do It conference in Las Vegas, of all places. In 2005. Don't you love
yes.
it, Las Vegas? But I went there, and I had read the book Asking It Is Given by Abraham Hicks. I don't know if you've ever read that. But
I haven't.
Oh, my gosh. It's my favorite book of theirs and one of my favorite books of all time, Ask Given. They have a lot of other books, but Abraham Hicks. And I had bought the book, and Wayne Dyer had written on the top that he recommended it, and they were going to have an all-day workshop at this conference that I went to. So I signed up for the all-day workshop, being kind of, you know, skeptical whether I was going to really like it or what it was going to be like. And it was one of the most amazing feelings being with them. It was Esther and Jerry Hicks, and Esther Hicks would she would calm her mind, and then guides called Abraham would come through her and answer questions of people in the audience. And it just felt so good. But one of the things that they said and they taught is that in order to feel the people who've made their transition, you have to be in your present moment and feeling appreciation for what's right in your life and feeling good, because when they make their transition, they're in that positive, appreciative, loving
yes.
energy, and you can't
yes.
feel them with you if you're down here going, oh, my God, they're gone. Oh, my God, they're gone. You know. So,
exactly, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So when my mom made her transition, I knew that, and like I said, I meditated and let her right through me, and I've been able to feel her with me almost the whole time because I knew that in order to feel her with me, I had to be feeling good. So I didn't feel guilty like I think some people do if they feel good.
Yeah.
Even though
yes.
their loved one is gone, you know.
Gratitude is really part of the teaching because gratitude is, you know, something that's within your heart.
Right.
You know, it's that feeling it within your heart, and that's what you need for the communication. A bit
right.
like you're saying, you know.
Yeah, gratitude, appreciation, and love.
Yeah.
Those vibrations.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So when you first started writing the book, you were just writing, right, to feel better or whatever, and then it wasn't intentionally a book project at first, but just getting your feelings out. So what inspired
you
to do that?
Well, it was, yes, it was a sort of a blog, and then, yes, and I had a daily practice of writing down what I was picking up. But I did actually have a session with a medium, not Suzanne, another medium,
mm-hmm.
who said to me, oh, well, Lizzie thinks it's a good idea for you to, you know, write this all down and maybe do a blog, she was saying. And I thought, I said back, you know, or maybe a book. And she said, oh, yes, even better.
Yeah,
so,
definitely even better.
So it was Lizzie's idea, not mine.
So it was Lizzie's
idea.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it was her idea. And I also talked to someone else who was a medium, and I can't remember her name now, but she was a medium and a healer. I think she is actually quite famous.
Mm-hmm.
And she was writing a book from her soulmate who'd passed,
mm-hmm.
who they had been together in life, and he'd passed, and she was writing a book with him. So that sort of put me on the road as well. So I thought, oh well, if she can write a book, you know, with her past lover who's passed over.
Mm-hmm.
Then I could do the same.
So did you find that writing about it regularly like that did help you feel better?
Oh yes, definitely. Yes, yes. It was a really nice experience. It was very rewarding experience to do it, and I was very very happy when we finished the book and it was all done and. The front was done by an English artist. The front cover was a postcard. Somebody had sent a postcard a couple of years ago, And I thought this postcard is perfect for this walk. She walks in beauty. You know, it really does feel like that's Lizzie in the picture. So I got in touch with the artist who did the postcard, and they said, "Well, it's fine. You can use it as long as I get a copy of the book." So that was fine. That was perfect. And it all flowed really well.
Well, that's a great story. I love that. So what do you say to people that are skeptics about all this?
You can't really say anything. I'm not trying to convince anybody. I'm not trying to teach anyone with all this book. I'm just talking about my experience, which is rather lovely. You either go with it or you don't really. I can't really convince someone that's a skeptic, but maybe they, skeptics all come round in time.
You know, I'm not a skeptic, and that was a question that Anne gave me to ask you, but it's something you have to feel. You have to feel, and I think you have to want to feel it, and it's a feeling.
Yes.
A feeling. It's not about thinking. It's not the logical side of our brain that connects with the people who are
exactly, yeah,
there, so it doesn't really work to do that.
A lot of people are frightened of it as well, and they don't want to know. They don't want to look at it. They're a bit fearful about it, That's what I get told anyway. Some people are quite fearful.
Yeah. We have less than 3 minutes left.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is amazing. I'm definitely going to have you back on. And Anne had given me a list of upcoming events and Yardbird shows that you're going to be doing starting in September.
Yes.
In Massachusetts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Massachusetts and also New York and Pennsylvania, it looks like. And then in March of 2023, the Flower Power Cruise, what is that?
There's something we've done a couple of times before.
Uh-huh.
And it's always great. It's always great fun. People, it lasts for about a week or so, and everyone dresses up in the old Flower Power gear, that old hippie gear or whatever. It's a lot of fun. It's really a nice thing to do, and you get a lot of similar bands.
Does the cruise start, and where does it go?
Well, this one I think is a different one. It normally goes into the Caribbean from Fort Lauderdale, but this one's going the other way, so it's going actually Fort Lauderdale to Mexico. Which sounds quite exciting because I've never been down that way at all. And the nice thing about being
that sounds fun. That sounds amazing. Well, we only have about a minute left, so what would you like to leave our listeners with before we have to go?
I'd like to leave them with the thought that I'm very happy and thankful to my life, even though I had that blow, that big blow a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
with my wife passing, I've still had a very, very interesting and varied life, and I've been lucky enough to stick with music, and music has been good to me, and I've loved it, and I still do, and I hope perhaps they will read the book and appreciate the book too. So I'd just like to say that.
Oh, well, I hope they do too. And I just want to say thank you for all of the ways that you live your music. My show is called Live Your Music because it's about living your heart's desires, and you're doing that.
I'm very lucky in that respect, and I appreciate that.
Well, it's what I feel like Lizzie wants and my mom wants and I know I want for everybody is to be happy and contribute to the happiness in the world. And I feel like you and your music and your books are doing that, Jim. So thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for doing that.
Thank you, Margot. That's lovely. Lovely thought. Thank you.
Yeah, lovely to talk to you too. Bye for now.
Okay.
Everyone out there,
okay.
Please live your music. Bye.